This is the SF Signal Podcast, as powered by the Functional Nerds. My name's Patrick Hester. I'm a functional nerd. And tonight I have brought together some folks to talk about young adult fiction. Let's see, what was my topic? Hold on, I've got it here somewhere. People of all ages are enjoying what YA has to offer. Are you one of them? What are some examples of genre YA you're enjoying? Is YA getting too dark? Is YA not dominated by dark stories at all? Or is YA a bubble waiting to burst as some new thing takes the publishing world by storm? I'm thinking, what am I thinking? Like zombie love stories.
Oh, those are already out.
Oh, well then I'm already behind the curve.
There's a new one by Random House called Dearly Departed.
Mm.
Something like that. Got a beautiful cover on it. It's like steampunk Victorian zombie love story.
Well, I want to see the 400-year-old zombie, you know, going after the 17-year-old. You know, like the vampire stories, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So anyway, let's say hello to our panel this week. I have Jessica Strider.
Hi, I'm Jessica Strider. I blog at scififanletter.blogspot.com.
I also have Ashley Crump.
Hi, I'm Ashley Crump. I blog at Troll in the Corner. I blog here, there, and yon, and basically I'm a wanderer.
I like to wander around. Oh, and in the center square, we have Mr. Jeff Patterson.
Hi, Jeff Patterson. I blog at Gravity Lens, which can be found at Bad Day Studio, and you kids get off my lawn.
I'm hoping that you are practicing your Paul Lynde, and one day I'm going to say Jeff Patterson in the center square, and you're just going to go all off on this awesome Paul Lynde impersonation that's just going to blow everybody away.
Oh, Samantha.
And for the younger folks out there, we're talking about Hollywood Squares.
Yes, they can Google that if they've never seen it before.
The one without Whoopi Goldberg. So, young adult fiction, it's huge right now. It's huge. I mean, when you go to like the conventions like Worldcon, World Fantasy, those kinds of places, you have a lot of authors who are even talking about, you know, oh yeah, gosh, the thing I want to get into now is young adult. Because that seems to be the new big huge wave that's kind of taking the whole publishing world by storm. So I decided that we needed to talk a little bit about young adult fiction, and you guys were kind enough to say, hey, you know, I'm all into that. Let's talk about it. So let's start with you, Jessica. Young adult fiction. Go.
Adults I liked.
Yeah, anything. I mean, you know, do you think it's taken the world by, I mean, what's your thoughts on young adult fiction? And then give us some titles that you like.
Okay. I think it was basically designed to fill a niche that was already filled to some extent. I mean, when I was a teen, there was no teen fiction section. And so you just, you know, graduated to adult stuff. And so I think it's kind of cool to see books that are catered to that particular age group, that deal with themes that they, you know, want dealt with, things that they have to deal with in daily life in terms of school and whatnot. I think it's a great genre. Having said that, I think there are two types of YA fiction. There's the stuff that's only really good for teens, like the stuff that's got a lot of angst, the stuff where an adult reading it goes, yeah, you're completely off base. 5 years from now, you're going to think completely differently. And of course, the teens don't believe you when you say that. And then there's the other section of teen fiction where, as an adult, you can read it and it's just a lot of fun, which is, of course, the stuff that I tend to like. Some of the books that I've read recently that were extremely good. There's a book by Mike Lancaster. In Canada and the UK, it was published as 0.4 or not 4. In the US, it was human.4. Read like a Twilight Zone episode. It'd be a great primer for anyone trying to get into science fiction. Very fast plot. Tankborn is by a new company that is trying to diversify, so it only publishes books where the main character is non-white from a non-European background. The book itself was a science fiction dystopian world on another planet where your skin color, and it was all shades of brown and determined your status. Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children by Ransom Riggs was a lot of fun. Creepy Pictures creepy real pictures lend a lot of atmosphere to the story. The Knife of Never Letting Go, if you like science fiction with a very interesting twist. People colonize a planet, and there's something on this planet that makes it so only men have their inner thoughts projected out loud.
Oh, that's not good.
Women are silent, but they can hear what every single man is thinking.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, it just doesn't go over very well with the men in the communities.
Trust me, ladies, you don't want to know what's going on inside a guy's head.
Oh, it was a great book. I've read the entire trilogy. It was fantastic. Mm. Mm.
I'm just saying, you don't want to know.
I think that goes both ways, actually.
Yeah, that's true, too.
So now it's interesting that you said that the publisher is only trying to publish things that are the other. Mm. How long have they been doing that? I wasn't aware of them.
Their first science fiction teen books came out this spring. Sorry, no, this fall. So they're very new. They've been publishing children's books for I think 2 years or so. But Tankborn is the first teen book that they've published.
That's great, though. Mm. I think that also fills a need in the publishing industry.
Yes, definitely.
So that's awesome. Jeff?
Yeah, I'm sort of coming from this as an outsider a little bit, because it's obviously, as mentioned, a marketing trend to fill a niche and stuff like that, and one that a great deal of the time isn't actually necessary. I think about a lot of the books that I read as a youngin' and even as an adult, which could, if you were to dress up the cover as a young adult novel now, would probably, you know, fill the gap. You know, we saw this before. I mean, the whole Ellisonades and Tom Swift and a lot of the, you know, a good chunk of the pulps were all basically aimed at younger audiences, and it's always been there. But I think about, you know, as a teenager reading like Larry Niven and Charles Sheffield and stuff like that, and that stuff certainly spoke to the disenfranchised, etc. The one thing that I did want to mention, though, was the one thought that went through my head when you brought up this topic was the complaints that are constantly made about the fact that there are no comics aimed at young adults. There's no comics aimed at kids. They tend to be aimed at adult fans. Mm-hmm. And the writer comedian John Hodgman was recently on he was on the Boing Boing podcast, and he said the reality is a little bit more complex than that. He goes, comics these days are not written for kids, they're written for very childish adults. And I tend to agree with them. The one other thought that sort of came to me was the fact that I think about Doctor Who, which has always been to an extent marketed in England as a kid show, but when you read the novelizations that spin off from there, they never particularly strike me as being very aimed at a younger audience in the way that they're written. And certainly the Moorcock one that came out 2 years ago certainly wasn't. And I always found that to be a little bit of a disconnect, that they weren't really trying to aim a show that was popular with kids, that they weren't trying to aim the fiction at the same market.
Hmm. I still say I'm a Mac. Ashley.
Well, I found this topic interesting for a couple of reasons. I came to the reading of science fiction and fantasy fairly late, probably in the last 10 years. And since I'm 36, I certainly don't fit into the category of YA. But I'm an English teacher, and I'm always looking for new things to read, you know, both because I love reading and I'm looking for things for my students to read. So, you know, I guess in a sense that's double dipping, but when I started seriously looking at YA, I realized that I thought a lot of these books were better and higher quality than the quote unquote adult books that I was reading.
In what way?
I had an impression of, I don't have any children and I grew up an only child, so I don't know a lot about what teenagers' reading habits would be, but you know, I had this impression of very juvenile, I guess, kind of the bubblegum type reading. And the book that stuck out, the first book that came to mind when I read about this topic was Cory Doctorow's Little Brother, which is kind of an updated 1984. It takes on what happens when there's a government problem in San Francisco and high schoolers kind of create their own revolution by hacking their I can't remember if it's their Xboxes or their Wii's, but they create this whole underground revolution by hacking their and they power the whole thing themselves. And you know, it's a whole new level of
sophistication
to me. Yeah, sophistication and respect to me that I hadn't previously recognized in a lot of books for 15, 16, 17-year-olds. This was speaking to people with of that age without condescension.
Sure.
And I respected that enough that, you know, this is something I want to see in other books, and I started to look for it. And I've read several of Cory's other books, and I was thrilled to see on Twitter that he's currently doing a sequel or a follow-up to Little Brother. But also, I have to mention, I'm going to murder this pronunciation probably, Nnedi Okorafor, who recently won the Hugo, was it? Whatever it's called, the World Fantasy for Who Fears Death. She has a young adult book called Akata Witch, which is fantastic. It follows the story of a young girl that's half American and half Nigerian who was born in America and moved back to Nigeria. And the young lady is albino. So that comes with its entire set of prejudices in the country there. And again, there's a whole level of sophistication, and the kids are treated on a level that I don't see in a lot of books.
Ashley, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Did you move into a coffee can?
Yes. No, I don't know what the deal is.
You're sounding like you're in a tunnel or a coffee can suddenly.
Well, if somebody had answered my microphone question, maybe I'd have a better answer.
Uh-oh. Suddenly I'm in trouble. Okay. No, I think you bring up a good point, which is something that I wanted to touch on. The idea that these stories are far more sophisticated and detailed than I think we have seen in the past. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying to think of what did I read when I was, you know, a teenager, and I
can't remember what I read.
Well, I read a lot of Star Trek novels, obviously.
Well, I was reading the traditional fantasy, so I was reading Feist and Brooks and Salvatore and whatnot. And I would put them around the same level. Like, you know, they have the no sex, no swearing. they're very easy to sell to teens. In fact, a lot of them have been remarketed for teens again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to say in the sixth grade, so I was not yet a teenager. So sixth grade, I read C.S. Lewis. Fifth or sixth. Seventh grade, a teacher put The Hobbit in my hands and told me to read that, and I read that. And then she put Lord of the Rings in my hands and told me to read that, and I read that. But prior to that, I was probably reading stuff like, you know, Encyclopedia Brown and the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and The Great Brain. I don't know if you ever saw those books, The Great Brain.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I mean, the level of sophistication in those books is not high.
Right. But those are also 9 to 12, not teen.
Okay. I trust the person who works in the bookstore. But then, you know, in moving into teenage years, I think I just read the Star Trek novels. I think that was like my main thing, was I was just consuming Star Trek novels. Dan Duane, DC Fontana, some early Peter David, I mean some people who have gone on to bigger and better and greater things, but they were writing Star Trek novels in the 80s and 90s, and I was reading them.
Well, can I just say something to that, Patrick?
No.
And that's the fact that all the books that you were assigned in high school were not marketed as young adult books.
Right.
No.
Everything that's basically taught as a classic to teenagers today was put out as a mainstream novel for the time.
And just what's funny about that is, I like to tell people this story. I went to parochial school, which is Catholic school.
As did I.
Up to the eighth grade, and then I went into public high school. And my sophomore year in high school, they assigned us To Kill a Mockingbird. Mm-hmm. And I had to tell the teacher, I said, you know, I just want you to know I'm not gonna read this. And he said, well, why aren't you going to read it? You know, it's the assignment, and you have to read it whether you like it or not. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know, Mr. McKenzie, I apologize, but I read this in the sixth grade.
Nice.
And if I could just say one thing to what Ashley said, especially about Little Brother. Little Brother, when I read it, as much as I agree with the fact that it's playing on dystopian tropes, to me had a direct lineage to the Ellison Aides and Tom Swift, because primarily it was, you know, a young, clever protagonist who, through his own wits, you know, gets into this whole, you know, DIY vibe when it comes to, you know, taking control of the technology around him to effect something. True, he's not building a steam man of the prairies, but he's definitely, he falls into that category of taking the tools available to him and doing something pretty potent with them.
Oh, that makes sense to me. That's, you know, I don't have that background, though. I wish I did. You know, that's one of the things listening to those podcasts do. I wish I had the reading background that you guys have, because I don't know about this stuff. Well, I need a list.
These are 100-year-old books, you know. I mean, you go back and you just look up a list of Ellison Aides on Wikipedia, and some of them are just remarkably old. I mean, this is the stuff they were reading in the old West was still happening when some of this stuff came out. So,
do you think, obviously, kids are getting smarter? I think, you know, it's the old joke about, you know, the grandparent going to their grandchild to build them a website.
Yeah.
Or teach them how to get their email. Because the kids, I mean, kids are a lot smarter. And I keep going back to the word sophisticated in my head. And so the genre has to keep up with that. And the things that are being written right now have to be smart, because the kids know. You know, and I think the things that they make popular are the books that are written very smart. And like, was it Ashley said, that don't condescend to them.
Right.
And now, Jessica, are you seeing, I mean, what are you seeing that is selling a lot?
Dystopian fiction right now. Angels, vampires are still hot.
But that seems to be across the board, though. I mean, that's just not YA. Dystopian stuff is very popular across the board.
But a lot of the best dystopian right now is coming out in the YA field. I mean, that's not to say that general fiction doesn't have some good stuff. Like, adult fiction doesn't have some good stuff, too. But there's a lot more in terms of quantity coming out in teen fiction than there is in general fiction when it comes to dystopian, which is probably why I've read so much of the teen books recently.
Interesting. Now, are you seeing a lot of, like, the graphic novels moving? Because Jeff was bringing up comic books.
Not really. Manga still sells, but comics, yeah, seem to be moving into more of the adult audience. Like, you don't see many teens browsing the adult comics.
Okay.
Like, we don't really have, well, we don't really have a teen graphic novel section, or what we do is quite small. And so if they are reading it, they're reading the adult stuff. And most of them seem to prefer the manga.
What about the criticisms that we've seen online? And I linked you guys to the Wall Street Journal article where basically they said that it's too dark. It's too mature for teenagers. There's too much stuff going on. Do you guys see that or do you not see that? I mean, what do you think, Jeff?
Well, they say that about a lot of things. I mean, it's certain that it's there and it's certain that it's attractive. But I mean, Patrick, as you know, all teenagers are incredibly well-balanced, rational beings. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they can see both sides of the human condition at any given time. And they're not at all self-centered.
Oh my God, you suck.
What interests me, though, based on what Jessica just said, is that it kind of, you look at the trends that have occurred in science fiction in general over the last 10 years, and I mean, is there any such thing as young adult space opera these days? You know, I mean, aside from maybe Zoe's Tale by Scalzi, and after that, you got to go back to Ender's Game is the last one I can think of.
No, but science fiction hasn't been that popular. It's resurging. The last year we've had a lot more debut science fiction than I remember for the last maybe 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
In the adult section, it's very hard to find a teen science fiction novel that isn't like Heinlein or Orson Scott Card or something. Like it's all the older authors, and it's all the older books for that matter.
Yeah, the getting repacked. I have noticed that lately, that a lot of this stuff is getting, you know, redressed up and sent out. I know there's been a couple anthologies of exclusively young adult SF, but I don't know. I just find it, you know, that seems to be it's sort of, you know, the same goes for, you know, heavy metal and emo music. Oh, yeah, it's all dark and it's all brooding and it's all complaining and stuff like that. Yeah, that's what happens, you know. That's nothing new.
I remember when South Park first came on the air.
Oh, God.
And I died laughing. I just thought that was the funniest thing I had seen in a long time.
And the powers that be were outraged.
Oh, yeah, they were, absolutely. And I remember, you know, I had moved out and I had my own place and I invited my family over for dinner and I was cooking dinner. You know, I was trying to do that whole thing where you impress everybody and, you know, sat down and I said, Mom, I want to show you something. And so I turned on South Park and I made her and my brother and especially my brother, cause his name is Stan. I made them watch an episode of South Park. And when it was all over, you know, I kept waiting for the explosion. I kept waiting for the, you know, turn this crap off. I can't believe you're making me watch this kind of thing. And it never happened. And, you know, when it was all over, I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, what'd you think? She said, it was all right. I wouldn't watch it every day. And I said, but weren't you upset? You know, it's like I wanted her to be upset. I wanted her to be offended by South Park. And God damn it, she wasn't being offended by South Park. And I said, well, why aren't you offended by this, Mom? She's like, well, it's 10-year-old boys. This is the way they act.
Well, I think it's also an issue. Every generation thinks that the current generation is a lot darker than they were. It's a lot less, a lot more unruly, a lot less, you know.
Those to happen, kids.
I mean, like, when I was a teen, the goth movement was huge. And, of course, all the parents were like, oh, it's all demon worship, and who knows what else they thought. Every generation goes through that. And I think, ultimately, if there's a choice between living through drug abuse and, you know, all the other horrible things that can happen to you, or reading about it and realizing I don't want to get into that, it's better to read it and bypass some of those things. So I actually think having dark fiction is good. If teens can learn from this and realize, okay, yeah, no, I don't want to, I don't want to go that route, then I think it's doing something good. There's an author named Jackie Morse who's doing, I think it's a 4-book series, The Apocalypse, or Writers of the Apocalypse. The first two, Hunger and Rage, are already out. Hunger was about a woman or a girl who was anorexic, and Rage is about a girl who cut herself. And basically, the point of the author writing these books was to show, you know, these are things that actual teens go through. I want to show them, you know, they're not alone. Other people go through it too. It's not healthy. They need to get help. If they haven't gone through this and they know someone who is, they still need to get that person help. But just, you know, if you read through it, you don't have to do it yourself. You know.
Sure. Well, and I mean, that's what fiction is about.
That they're not alone.
Yeah, and that's what good fiction does anyway, no matter what the genre.
Right.
I lost my train of thought. I was going to ask another question, but oh well. You know what? We're coming up on probably the end of the podcast, so we should probably do some final thoughts. Ashley, did you have any final thoughts on young adult fiction? Any other titles you want to throw out there? Any other opinions?
I recently read Jill Walton's Among Others, which is not YA, but I was really impressed with the way that it was done. It was in the voice of a 15-year-old girl who was, I don't want to give a whole lot of it away, but it was not having the best time, but she was coping with it by going through her father's library in the late 70s and reading his science fiction and fantasy books and going to the local bookstore and the library and going through those books. And it was really a good snapshot, I thought, of, you know, it was almost a meta YA, I thought, which was really an interesting way to look at it. And I think the whole idea of YA getting too dark is, frankly, I think it's a load, because anybody who wants to think that is just not quite that aware or doesn't want to be aware of what teenagers are really dealing with every day.
Sure.
You know, people are dealing, kids or teenagers are dealing with that every day. So if they read it in a book, and just like Jessica said, if they read it in a book and they decide they don't want to deal with it after they read it, that's much better than having the actual experience. I think I've got to go with that every time.
All right. Jeff, final thoughts.
I'm staring at my bookshelf looking, trying to think of how many books actually have teenage protagonists in them, even though they weren't young adult books. And I keep going back to the Jeffrey Carver books and, you know, the Starrigger books and Infinity Link and stuff like that. Spin by Robert Charles Wilson, the sequel of which just came out a little while ago. There are, so you know, the teenage lost protagonist, now that we're at the end of the podcast, just dawns on me, is such a trope in science fiction, even if it's not young adult. And there's definitely a lot of it out there if any youngins listening want to go and dig for it.
All right, Jessica?
Basically, just want to say, if you are an adult and you have been avoiding reading teen fiction simply because you think, oh, no, it's going to be, you know, lame writing or whatever, stop doing that. There are some really good stories, and the writing is, for the most part, up with adult fiction. Like, you may come across a few where the writing's, you know, a little dumbed down, but for the most part, these books are fantastic.
Amen.
Now, we've already given you guys some book titles, but I wanted to throw another one out there. The American Library Association does a Teen Read Week every year. And as part of that, they poll teens and ask them for their favorite books. And the 2011 list is out, and more than 9,000 teens voted. And here is their top 10 books. Clockwork Angel by Cassandra Clare. Mockingjay by Suzanne Collins. Crescendo by Becca Fitzpatrick. I Am Number 4 by Pittacus Lore. The Iron King by Julie Kagawa. Matched by Ali Condie. Angel, a Maximum Ride novel by James Patterson. Paranormalcy by Kirsten White. Before I Fall by Lauren Oliver. And Nightshade by Andrea Krimmer. That's their list. Now, Amazon also has a list that I just happened to pull up. And I want to throw it out because it seems like there's some stuff on here that looks kind of cool. Have you guys heard of Divergent?
Yep, I've heard it.
That looks kind of cool. So does the Scorpio Races. Mm. And then who mentioned Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children?
I did.
That's on here as well.
Yeah, it's really good.
So lots of good stuff out there. Obviously, nice things to bridge between, you know, the younger stuff and then kind of getting you into fantasy and science fiction that's you know, more adult. So everybody should go check it out. It's not just for kids anymore. There's a lot of sophisticated stuff out there. And people should just go and pick something up and read it. Thanks to everybody for coming on tonight. Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I think that's it. We're going to call that a podcast.